Hello.
Hey, what's up, Theo?
What are you guys doing?
We are out of breath.
So out of breath.
Why? What on earth are you doing there?
We've been watching those Canon films, and we saw the two Breaking movies. We saw Breaking movies, and we are just
really good. I'm so ahead.
We're dancing. We found a bunch of cardboard from the boxes for the candy.
We've been breakdancing all night, man. Popping and locking.
Breakdance?
Yeah, we do. Of course we do. We spin on our heads. We move our hands around.
I'd show you, but I pass out.
Our bodies are jittery. It's like we have a bunch of caffeine in us. We know what we're doing. You gotta feel it. It's not about being taught anything, man. You don't need to go to school for this, man. We just feel it, man.
Yeah, I'm all about it. Hey, just give me a second.
Similar to the way I learned ninjutsu.
Poppy's been watching.
Trying to be a big monster.
Poppy watched Hercules, and he wants to be big.
You saw Hercules? I'm huge.
Hercules, what are you talking about? How can you get big? You're a popcorn. You'll always be a popcorn.
Well, in the movie, there's a sorceress that gives Hercules the power to be big enough to separate Africa and Europe.
But it's magic, Poppy.
Yes, and
is that magic?
Yes, it was magic. Yeah. No, she was a sorceress. Sorcerers deal with magic. Well, she fell in love with Hercules, so she couldn't continue to make him big after that.
Blah, blah, blah.
And I'm telling Poppy, no, none of us here can make him big because we all love him.
It's pretty adorable. He made a little mini Lego city, just had a couple like Lego bricks, and he's been toppling them over. So adorable.
He made a little Atlantis out of Legos, and then he put it in my bucket, filled it with water and other stuff that was in there too, and just sank it.
Yep. This reminds me about when he went all nuts about Godzilla and started just stopping and everything.
Oh, wow. Poppy! It's all your toys. I'm not fishing that out of the bucket. Yeah, Poppy wants to get big, and we're trying to convince him that he can't. He doesn't need him. You know what? You are big on the inside,
Poppy. That's not what matters. It's the outside what counts.
It really is. It only really matters in this world to be what happens on the outside.
Look at me, I'm huge.
You're not huge.
Poppy, we'll get into this later.
I'm glad you guys started watching the Canon movies, because I really wanted to study up, because we're going to go into production, and this is sort of the vibe I want, you know, that kind of like high quality, all action, all out kind of movie.
Breaking!
And that's...
All action for the butter cans?
Yeah, because we get into scrapes all the time, right?
I'm talking about the Real Butter movie, that's like a spinoff of the podcast.
Yeah, we've been doing some stuff here, and in the movie can be about it, like, we've been breakdancing and stuff, but in the movie, we can breakdance, but also bust a drug ring.
I want to be big! I want to be huge!
We gotta find a sorceress. I don't know anyone who isn't in love with you, Poppy, you're great.
Can you do that movie thing where you make it look like something, but it's not real?
You mean CGI?
Yeah, absolutely, we could do that.
You gotta sign.
Do miniature cities. I mean...
Theo, Poppy has not signed...
Budget's not really an issue.
Poppy hasn't
once,
signed
Once I
anything.
Sign a few big stars to the script, we're good to go.
Like who?
I'm gonna sell the... I don't know, I got a few ideas.
You're really doing this?
I got a few
this?
Ideas, I'll
really?
Keep you updated, don't worry.
Maybe later you can hunt them down in your van or something. But for right now, we gotta get Poppy to understand that we can't get bigger Poppy in real life.
Yes, I can.
No, you need magic.
Yes, I can.
You can't.
Magic is real.
Magic is real because you are popcorn that was brought to life from real butter.
So that means that I can get big.
No, anything could happen, but I don't know.
He's got a point.
I mean, the
if he got this far.
Some would say the lore is shaky, but that's just me.
Yeah, I'm real.
Okay, you are real. I'm talking to you right now. I'm looking and holding you up right now in my hands. You seem pretty upset about it. I know. I smell.
I'm hopping off.
Well, say hi. Let me...
Pick me up.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Coming down. Table.
All right. This, I'm
so, table, this is like, floor,
so glad I've done all this breakdancing, because now I'm feeling in shape. Ugh. Okay, sit on the table, Poppy. We're going to figure this out. In the meantime, how about we ask some questions about Canon movies?
Yeah, I don't know. Let's just... I don't know.
Because they're really interesting. These movies are insane. They have to have an insane story about them.
Yeah, and to help us work through it, I bought this amazing new book, The Canon Film Guide by Austin Trunick.
Oh, that's
on
cool.
Amazon. So that's pretty great.
I can hear.
Yeah,
I can hear you outside walking from the store after buying it right now.
Yeah.
Well, this sounds like a good book. I mean, what's this guy's name again?
Oh, it's fantastic. Trunick.
Huh.
Yeah.
Maybe you should go find this guy.
I don't know. It seems like a far-fetched.
Oh, well, that's an idea I had not thought of at all.
Yeah.
So Maybe I will, but...
Can we talk about Hercules?
But Theo, I let me get this straight. I want to make this clear. I don't want you to find him like I've had you find other people before. I want you to treat this guy nice. You know, don't
kidnap him and put him in the basement. I understand what you're saying, Alex. This is I'll treat him real nice.
I don't think you understand what I'm saying. It sounds like you're going to throw him in a basement.
No. This is getting weird. I get it.
Did you also get oatmeal from the store?
This is getting weird.
I bought a little oatmeal. Okay. I bought, you know.
I feel like I know where this is going, but just... But
I bought a new dish, like a dish towel and a bottle of chloroform.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so don't chloroform him. Just find him so we can talk to him and just, you know, see if he'd be interested in coming on the show.
Sure, I got it, Alex.
Can we talk about Hercules?
Well, if we can get the guy, we can ask about Hercules.
Can we talk about Hercules?
Okay, all right. Maybe, Theo, you should enact your plan. It sounds like Poppy's
going to rush.
You can't be.
I don't think you should kidnap someone. That's weird. But let's move on, I guess. I don't know how to move on from this.
Okay.
I want to hear the real butter music. It's so great.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll play it right now.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to do it with my mouth. This is going to be impeccable. The way that I'm doing this, I'm going to do it with my mouth.
He can replicate it perfectly. He's like a parrot.
Here we go. One, two, three.
On.
Oh, what a day! What a lovely day!
Wax off.
I will look for you.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
I will find you.
Are you incapable of restraining yourself, or do you take pride in being an insufferable know-it-all?
And I will kill you.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Somebody peed my pants.
A sad, strange little man.
He's had a change of heart.
A lot of good that'll do him. He's still got the same face.
All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
Ah, a fellow checker, eh?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
I'm very happy about that.
Surely you can't be serious.
What do you want? You want the moon?
You get nothing!
Nothing? Nothing? Nothing, tra-la-la?
I drink your milkshake!
Eddie, at the spot.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Wow.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
All right, I'm in.
Still coming to you from the entirely empty employee break room of the quiet and quarantined Theater Brothers Theater on the garbage-strewn outskirts of a minor locked-down American city. This is the Real Butter Buttercast. I'm Peter Theater.
Oh, I'm Theodore Theater.
And I'm Alex, and I'm just happy to be here.
I'm Poppy.
What up, Poppy?
Yeah. Poppy, you have to be part of this one.
Alex, I'm a part of this!
I mean, he's always here, whether we want him to be or not, and whether we talk about how we don't want him to be here behind his back or not, he's always here.
Always.
I suppose he is.
Yeah.
Well, in any case, hey, you guys, so I've been watching all these canon films, right?
Yeah,
we're all
going to
talk about that, and then I thought, you know what, I want to know more, because I want to make movies like this. So what I did was I sought out a book, right, that's just come out about canon films. Yeah.
Huh.
It's like it's volume one.
I didn't know you read.
Well, I have Shoshana read it to me, but it's the Canon Film Guide, Volume 1. And then I thought, you know what? Reading's boring, so I called up the author, Austin Tronic.
Oh!
Reading is boring, as Pooch McGiggle.
Yeah. Who's,
So, yeah, I got him on the phone right now.
What?
Wow,
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey! Wait, you wrote a book about Canon films. I've been watching them, too. They're certainly films.
They are films indeed.
Hey, you're not like trapped in a basement somewhere, right? Theo didn't like capture you.
We should cover that right away.
You're fine, right?
I am in a basement, not Theo's basement, but I'm okay.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Just,
that's right.
Because what I understand, there's a pandemic going around.
Right. So you don't want to. You don't want any part of that.
Yeah.
But a pandemic's a wonderful time to start watching canon films, the greatest movies ever made.
Oh,
there's you. So you want to make these are the kind of movies you aspire to make.
Heck yeah, the real butter movie is going to be just like these.
Oh boy, I will say this: I did watch 9 of them, and they were entertaining.
But
Is the Butter movie gonna have kittens in it? Because
what?
All of the other movies didn't have a single kitten.
You thought because we were doing the canon films that they were just films about cannons, like Ernest Rides Again or something?
What else would it be about?
Films made by a company called Canon. They're like ninjas and musicals. I didn't name them.
We don't call this the stupid podcast.
No, but some would say that our name is pretty weird to begin with.
But we have Butter.
We do have Butter. I don't think they did. They didn't have cannons in their movie. Maybe they had them at the offices. I don't know. Austin?
No cannons. No cannons. Sorry,
that's
Charles Bronson carries some hand cannons.
And yes, he does.
No actual cannons. Not many, at least.
Oh, man.
So I'm taking notes here. I want to start my own movie studio. How did Canon Films start? Like, how did that come about?
Well, the canon that I wrote about, very similarly to how you guys are here, they started in a movie theater, two men called Menachem Golan and Yoram Globus. And they started out in Israel. Menachem, when he was young, his job was cranking the subtitle reel in a movie theater, showing Hebrew subtitles over American movies. And that's how he fell in love with films. His younger cousin, later became his business partner, Yoram. His father owned a movie theater in Tel Aviv, and he grew up taking tickets, handing out playbills outside the theater. So they both started that way. And when they
just like being in theater.
I mean, yeah, I'm like the guy projecting.
Yeah, the Hebrew, right?
They were both.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you were projecting the subtitles.
But I was Menachem in this metaphor.
Wait. So, you're not one of the brothers. I think you're getting off track here.
I'm just talking about the job, not the bloodline. But sure, if you want to get that specific about it.
We'll find a spot for you. Maybe if Austin could continue.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll find a character for you to be.
So later on, they got into movies together. They made a lot of mainly black and white Hebrew movies, but they became very successful in Israel. Some of these movies even became very successful abroad. Menachem Golan, his job was really as the creative person. He came up with movie ideas. He sought actors out. Truly the pitch man. Yoram Globus was the businessman who would figure out how to sell these movies elsewhere, and he was very good at it. So they got into the 70s. They had a lot of success with, for one example, a movie called The Lemon Popsicle, which was they later remade in the U.S. as a sex comedy called Last American Virgin.
I've seen that.
What? It's so good.
Interesting ending, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the most soul-crushing ending.
I like it a lot.
Very realistic. that movie, it was a Hebrew language movie, but they sold it in Japan, they sold it in Germany, and it was popular all over the world, except for America almost. It never came over to the States. But the whole time, Menachem's dream was to be a big shot Hollywood mogul, like the type of moguls that didn't really, they existed in the 30s, but didn't exist anymore by the 70s. And so he and his cousin bought Canon, which is a small company that made a few original movies, but mostly dubbed Swedish pornos and sold them in the US. And that's where the Canon era begins. From there, they made so many movies in the 1980s. And
they were on a run.
Wait, so you didn't make the movies?
No, you wrote a book about them.
I wish I could say I made a few of them.
Same here. No, Poppy, he wrote a book about him, so I asked him that. These happened way back in the 80s. The company isn't around anymore. he didn't make them.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, what happened to Canon?
A very, very sad demise, really, by the end. They just, a lot of bad investments, a lot of bad ideas, a lot of bad movies.
From what
I've seen, you mix all those things together and kind of led to their demise by the early 90s.
From what I understood, that they were like hustlers and bustlers, always trying to get something made, and sometimes they were selling movies that they haven't even made yet, and it kind of caught up with them.
That was exactly their business model. They had sort of a throw it at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
They would make posters. They would find great poster artists and great titles and put these ads together and take them to to film festivals and try to sell them internationally. So,
gosh,
if enough people bought a movie that didn't exist, they'd make it.
Oh my god!
That's what
you
we've got to do with the real Butter movie, guys.
No, no, that kind of is what you're already doing, except the movies already existed and you just widened out their stories.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a script per se because that just it takes so long. But I do have a concept, and I think definitely. I've kind of put some posters together with photocopied images of various actors that I think should be in the movie.
I think you missed the part where Austin said that that's how
failed.
They failed
that way.
Well, but they got rich first. Yeah, fake it till you make it. That's
no, no, what? Yep.
That does kind of remind me of something. I watched The Apple, and there was a scene where some guy was signing a contract because it was some
Alfie.
Yeah, it was like a
he was signing Boogaloo's contract.
Right, some music deal. And his girlfriend had already signed it. And they're like, great, your album will be out soon. She's like, I didn't make it yet. They're like, that's,
We sell the album, then you make the album.
That's
weird. But the funny thing is, in the movie, they're painting it as if it's a bad business tactic for an evil company. And yet it is the description
that's
of
literally
Canada
what
itself.
They're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, Austin, how did you run into Canada? What was your first exposure to him?
Oh, gosh. Well, as a kid, I grew up as the movie store, the video rental shop was where you went on a Friday night, and the 10 minutes you spent in there sort of decided your entertainment for the whole weekend. And yeah, Canon was on every shelf there. And really you couldn't miss them if you grew up in that era and enjoyed movies back then. And yeah, so that's where my first exposure to Canon started. My local video store was very lenient about renting R-rated movies to kids. So I saw things
like some highlights. Like what were some of the movies that you rented?
Oh gosh. Well, New Year's Evil is one that I definitely remember. Renting early because horror was where once I would go by myself or with a buddy from middle school that we would work our way through the horror section. Then there was Chuck Norris stuff like Invasion USA.
Oh man.
Ninja movies, Revenge of the Ninja was a big one. Ninja 3 was another.
Nice.
I was, a young teen boy and That's what you gravitate towards.
Very true.
I feel like.
Seems like these movies were made for that demographic for sure.
So they definitely defined an era of my life that was very formative.
Certainly, reading the stuff that you write these days, the reviews you put out, are really great, by the way. And it makes me wonder what made you take the writing style that you have now and put it into a series about canon.
Well. It started years ago, probably about 5 years ago. A lot of these movies were starting to be put out on Blu-ray, and through the magazine I worked for, I would get copies of and I'd write about them. It was great to visit these movies and review them and sort of look into their history. And after doing that a few times, I was thinking, it's like, gosh, I love this, and I don't want to wait for these to come out. Be released just for an excuse to write about them on home video to review them. So I started writing really essays about them for no reason, but that reason eventually became together into this would be a great book or this would be a book I'd want to read at least.
So your natural writings just sort of became this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted something I could write about that was separate from my work at the magazine but it was similar because I enjoy that writing and, really, it was just an excuse. I was like, oh, I want to watch Hercules 2. How can I do that? Like, why don't I just do that and write about it then on my own?
Did you ever think about writing a book before?
Not like this. No.
This is a big thing, yeah.
Seems like it took a life of its own.
This started, it was going to be one book. And as it grew and grew and grew, and I went from, the first idea was to write one book covering my 50 favorite canon movies. But after that, it became, I want to write about as many as I can. And then you start to look and there are hundreds.
Yeah.
Literally hundreds of the movies that they made in just a short span of about 14 years.
Yeah.
So
you're going to be busy.
The cream rises, but there are a lot.
Right. So there are, as I've been writing this, it's been a 5-year project.
Oh
my goodness. That's commitment.
Yeah, some have been.
You also have a lot of interviews in the book. Is that right?
That's correct. That was, yes. After I started really, really working on this in earnest, I started trying to seek out and find the people who had worked on these movies, appeared in them and directed them. And a lot of these people have been very receptive to reflecting on that era and answering my questions. And so it's been really nice. That's a part that I never expected to have, that behind the scenes access to these guys. But really everyone I've spoken to for the book, from directors to directors, some of great directors like Sam Furstenberg and William Sachs, to actors, they've been great. They've been very generous with their time and the stories they're willing to share, and their stories have been across the board wonderful. And whether it's something unbelievably crazy that Cannon did with them, or just a fluke movie that they thought no one would see and ends up being this big cult hit.
Do you have a favorite behind the scenes story on a Cannon's film?
A favorite bonding, I'm sorry?
No, a favorite behind-the-scenes story on a Cannon film.
Oh, gosh. My favorites, probably, at least in this book, has to do with the Hercules movies that Cannon made.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, so Hercules was just this incredible, special effects-filled, wild, almost sci-fi superhero take on the Hercules story.
It's bananas.
Yeah. The second one, they made the movie, which starred Lou Ferrigno,
mm-hmm.
without ever telling him they were making it.
Oh my gosh!
So yeah, I was so hard to wrap my brain around this, but Cannon had made a movie before Hercules called Seven Magnificent Gladiators.
Yeah, pretty much same cast and director, right?
Right, same cast carried over. They had made Hercules and that back to back, and. But when they're making Hercules, they got the footage of Gladiators and thought, oh, this is unreleasable. So
they said that? Oh my god.
It happens a lot.
Cannon thinks your movie is unreleasable. And they weren't always the best judges of that, because the other movie that they famously thought was unreleasable was Bloodsport.
Wow.
Which became one of their biggest hits. It was a great movie, but that sat on their shelf for years because they thought it was trash.
They're crazy. That is so funny. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So yeah, Van Damme almost didn't really have a career if they hadn't finally let him go in there and sort of re-edit Bloodsport and help, and then put it out. And that was one of their last really great movies. And that really helped out a lot. It became a hit. But
and they thought Gladiators was unreleasable.
Yeah. So they thought Gladiators was unreleasable. So they fired the director and they brought in Luigi Cozzi, who goes by the name Lewis Coates on Hercules.
Yeah.
But they fired him, brought him in for Hercules. Hercules went great. It has all these cool effects for the budget and the time they had to make it. And they want to make a sequel, but Lou Ferrigno's expensive. Instead, they get the idea of, they go to Lou, they say, we need to do some research shoots so we can release Gladiators. We're going to use Luigi Cozzi here, to direct these, and you have 2 weeks. So Luigi shot 2 weeks of new footage with Lou Ferrigno. Cannon's thrilled with the footage that they're getting. And they call up Luigi and they say, you can get a half hour of footage from 2 weeks. We can tell Lou that we are going to need 4 weeks. Get two more weeks to shoot another half hour of footage.
Oh my gosh.
But we're not going to use it for Gladiators. It's going to be Hercules 2. Don't tell them.
How did that happen?
Wow. They did it. And somehow everyone on the set kept it a secret.
Oh my gosh.
That's why none of the scenes that Lou has in the second movie are with the actors from the first movie.
Wow.
Because they brought all of them back to shoot after he'd left. Because
That's ridiculous.
And then, so they did another 2 weeks of shooting without the star and with every other character from the first movie.
Wow. They just flat out lied to him.
Yep. They did. And afterwards, they revealed it to him by
saying,
hey, we made Hercules 2.
I don't know what I would do if literally someone's like, we made Hercules 2, you're the star of it, here's the poster, and it's done. And you're like, I would freak out. I feel like they would drug me and I was just insane.
He did a movie where he didn't even know you're doing the movie.
That's insane to me.
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy to watch it too, because they clearly didn't have time or money to do many things. So The final battle in the movie is the final battle from Hercules 1.
Oh, gosh.
Except they rotoscoped it. They, what? Like, turned into space lasers, oh, and my... they just traced over the fight.
I'm watching that tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
I still got to watch a bunch more, but I'm watching that tonight.
They are playing the game, dude. Oof.
Well, they did the same thing with Bronson in other movies, too.
Wow. This is giving me all sorts of ideas.
Oh, my gosh. No, Theo. No, you should not be inspired by this.
No, we could just hire a big actor for, like, a short commercial, but then shoot an entire movie around it.
They're going to know.
They'll never know.
They're going to know when their character's not hawking a product, and instead going through some character arc.
Hang on, this isn't a commercial.
Exactly. I thought this was for ketchup. Instead, my daughter's dying in my arms.
Just reload the gun.
A lot of this sort of was pushed by Menachem, and I got to say, I think his films are just the best. They're just amazing. Do you have a favorite one? Because I think his are just amazing.
Oh, my goodness. The Apple has a very, very close place in my heart.
It is chef's kiss. It is amazing.
I got to say, after I watched it, I developed this twitch in my arm. And I really think it is related. It was almost instantly. Like, the first time they broke into song where it wasn't a part of the, like, movie, like, it was more just when it turned into a musical, I felt like I went into, like, an epileptic seizure or something. Like, my arm started twitching, and I paused it, and, like, I don't know what's happening.
There is something amazing about how in every single frame, in every single line of every single moment of that movie is just the wrong decision. It's amazing. But there's also something about over the top. And just how ridiculous it is, this father-son story about a man who arm wrestles. There's a simplicity to that that's almost as beautiful.
I actually really like that one.
You would.
Which was so funny.
You would. It's about a father-son relationship that you never had.
Well, I mean...
You want to arm wrestle right now?
No. It's not the same.
I'm arm wrestling myself. I'm losing. I'll get you next time, me.
Finally won for once.
Yep. Apple is amazing.
Yeah. That movie almost killed Golan, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He famously, when they premiered the movie at Montreal, they had handed out the soundtrack on vinyl records to the audience, and they threw them at the screen like frisbees. So he went up to his hotel room and was really like almost hanging over the side of the balcony, threatening to throw himself over because this was going to be his big break in Hollywood.
That's
he really
horrible.
Believed that the Apple was going to be the big hit that got him an Oscar and all the box office accolades, and you're about to talk him down.
Yes. So. That's horrible. Well, I mean, when you spend that much time on something that's in that wrong-headed and have no idea when you walk in there, and they're throwing their vinyl records of your musical in the screen. They got stuck
like
in the screen.
Ninja stars.
Exactly, which totally inspired Enter the Ninja, I think. The next movie. I don't blame him, not because... he's crazy, but because he's crazy passionate about making movies.
This is something he made, and everyone is just hating on it.
He put it in everything.
Think about that, you guys, next time you talk about the real butter script.
But you're also, again, learning from the guy who did it wrong. If you've seen The Apple, it's incredibly wrong-headed.
I mean,
Shoshana, we both watched that, and then we had just the most vivid, colorful nightmares.
Oh my gosh. I don't want to know.
Let me guess, Steve, were you drinking her kombucha at the same time?
Maybe.
Okay. Yep. You guys were tripping.
Actually, I've had a bit too much a bit earlier today, so I may just need to take a bathroom break. Can we just cut to commercial?
That's disgusting. Yeah, I guess we'll cut to commercial. We'll be right back with some more questions for Austin. Stay tuned.
Real.
Butter.
Oh, God! Jeez, this is a battle!
Oh, wow!
Oh, I'm gonna have to prepare for this!
Need something.
Hello!
Hello? Oh, my God! Nice suit, dude!
Thank you!
What is that box you just came in on?
That's my time machine. I'm traveling back to the year 1994.
What?
My name's Friedland Dewey, and I represent the Golan Globus Cannon Corporation.
Golbus and Globy can't.
That's too much, man.
What are you talking? So you came in this box, and you're here from 1994 to do what?
I'm here to offer you a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to purchase a large cannon.
Do you know where we are right now? In the middle of a battle. A cannon would be very helpful, and you're trying to sell us a cannon.
Oh my! Yeah, we'll take a cannon.
What's a cannon? What's it do?
Well, you can fire a large ball, killing many of your enemies simultaneously. You can tear their limbs asunder.
I love asundered limbs.
Yeah.
Well, can we put other things in the ball, like put other tiny balls in it so that it makes like a cluster bomb?
I'm not sure. Why don't you try?
Oh, okay. I
think our armies kind of suck right now. I think we should probably get this.
We don't have any shillings on us because we're in the middle of a battle. How can we afford this cannon?
You have no coins at all?
We have no shillings.
No, we'll pay back after the war.
No paper means.
Well, I'm going to need you to put this penny in the bank and make sure it's an account with plenty of interest and put it under my name.
All right.
Oh, that seems pretty easy.
That seems pretty good. So we just put the penny in the bank under your name with the high interest. You're going to give us a cannon right now because it's not... It's getting worse. Go! Go! We'll take it. We'll take it. Right, can we get the
banner? Consider this, the Revolutionary War 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Wow, this is amazing. What if we put someone inside the cannon and like made a circus or something?
What if you put a puppet in there that loved chickens?
Random thought. Let's go to war.
Wait.
Huh. Wow, your cannon worked, dude. Huh. Oh, this bullet wounded my chest is really too good.
Really big.
Oh my god, use the penny.
Thanks. I'm gonna keep it.
Coming this summer, Mad Maximus, the Roman general who became a slave.
Two men enter, one man leaves.
The slave who became a road warrior.
My name is Maximus, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife.
The road warrior who defied an empire.
At my signal, unleash hell.
Wasn't it me who wrote it? Am I not merciful? It is by my hand you arise from the ashes of this world.
You don't want to make Maximus mad. Because when Maximus gets mad, he gets heathen. More mad.
Butter Films presents a Theodore Theater production, Mad Maximus.
Okay. I'm back.
Oh, you're right, man.
What are we doing? What are we doing again?
Are you okay?
We're talking awesome.
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, you sound horrible.
I don't know.
Sounds like that kombucha's getting to you.
Yes, it was a bit of the kombucha, but mostly the apple.
I think you should do some of that BIM exercise.
Like sweating and rolling around in bed. Huh?
Did you try exercising?
The BIM exercise? We can play that BIM song for an hour straight.
No, we can't. I don't think we can legally.
That's what they do in the movie.
All right, stop everything you're doing. Firefighters, stop your firefighting. Let's do this little dance for an hour.
I thought that music, okay, so you write about music, Austin, right?
Yes.
So what, do you have a favorite soundtrack or score from a canon film? I gotta be honest, Death Wish 3, pretty good soundtrack.
It's got a great soundtrack. Yeah. Boy, there are some very good ones. I mean, Breakin's got a fantastic soundtrack.
It does.
The Delta Force theme song, if there's anything that'll get you going, it's... I feel it's that one.
I don't know that one.
Oh, it's good. The theme music. You should just pull up the Delta Force theme music sometime and just anytime you're feeling down and you're going to feel ready to rush onto an airplane and, you know, personally remove every terrorist.
Well, get ready to hear it a lot, Peter, because I'm going to play it every time I'm down, and I'm down all the time in the theater. I'm always depressed.
Oh, wow. Yeah. We're working on that.
Thanks.
Yeah, man. Over the Top, you mentioned, also has a fantastic soundtrack.
Ooh, it's been great. A bit.
Sammy Hagar.
Oh, wow.
Theme song, and that one's all around very 80s.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and I know we keep coming back to it, but I love Speed from the Apple a lot. That's a good song.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Speed! I love the movie and the song.
Thinly veiled drug reference.
Yeah, there are a lot of references in that movie.
That's not thinly veiled. She literally says everyone in America is popping pills.
Yeah,
she's like, I'm pretty sure that's a lyric in the song. It's sort of like the I'm coming for you song.
No, I wasn't going to mention that one.
But my point is they aren't hiding anything.
Oh my gosh.
Speed is only thinly veiled compared to
everything else.
I watched that movie through my hands.
Oh gosh, you are wrong. What's wrong with you?
That I watched the whole thing.
Masterpiece.
My arm, man, it's messed up.
I was watching it on Pluto, realized that it was the full screen copy because of a very specific shot. I love that movie. And then I turned that off and I went right to Amazon Prime, where of course they had it in Letterboxd.
Wow, we should watch movies at the same time.
I mean, we don't, man. I told you. I'm standing behind you in the movie when I'm watching a movie with you. You don't want to turn around. Right. I'm doing crazy stuff.
Weird.
When I was watching The Apple, I had like glitter on my mouth and like things on my teeth. Yeah.
One horn.
Yeah, you don't want to look at my mouth the entire movie. Kind of like Shake in that movie. Like, that mouth is disgusting.
The lead actress, Catherine Mary Stewart, she went on to be in a bunch of other great 80s movies.
She looked familiar.
Night of the Comet is a favorite of mine.
Yeah, she's amazing. But she told me that she didn't know that what songs were about.
Oh my! She was what? Like, how naive? How pathetic is that?
Yeah, it was definitely adorably naive.
Yeah, that is kind of pure.
Okay,
it's adorable.
Is there okay? So I know we're talking about like canon being like ironically bad, but I wanted to watch Runaway Train this week. I didn't have a chance. Still, really want to. And I hear it's really good. Oscar noms in there, too. Do you think there is a genuinely good canon film out there?
I mean, I'd argue for a bunch of them. But I'm very... It's hard for me to take an objective stance. When you watch a movie over and over again, you tend to fall in love with it.
It's true.
Even after the first time, even if the first time watching, it's pretty tough. But, gosh, there are some...
Do you think there are canon movies that get a bad rap because they're canon movies that would otherwise be considered great?
Yeah, I do. I do. One of the biggest ones I point out was a slightly later than it's covered in the second volume of the book, but I've written about it there is Life Force.
I totally watched Life Force.
It's so weird,
isn't it?
But it's a movie about space vampires and. The main villain she's nude for a good...
She's an 18-year-old nude vampire the entire movie. Yeah, Patrick Stewart kisses a guy. That movie's insane.
What?
I feel so bad for that film because they cut a half an hour of it.
Yeah, it's also I think people saw it and or disregarded it because of canon, at least critically. Critics were terrible on it when it came out.
It's not great. I don't think. But I did love it.
I feel it's aged very well.
I just think it's very choppy. I think some of the British actors are poorly cast. That main guy, the Tommy Lee Jones lookalike, is just horrible. But then you have people like Patrick Stewart show up and the Doctor. There's some good people in it. I wish they hadn't cut it up. It's confusing for a bit, but then again, people, giant dust vampires are running through jail cells and exploding into dust. So, like, who am I to say?
Oh, man, I wasn't ready for that.
You should have watched
it. This is Toby Hooper, right, who directed the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
He did.
And Invaders from Mars. Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. So was that a canon film?
Invaders from Mars?
Oh.
I love Texas Chainsaw Massacre too. That's a genuinely funny movie.
Yeah, and that one I feel people were a little bit surprised that it was as funny as it was. It's almost a parody of the first movie, and
particularly
intentional, but
surprised me. Sorry, yeah.
But yeah, all three of those movies are really. I feel it. They never would have happened without canon, because canon was a company that was willing to throw money at little money they had at Toby Hooper's ideas for those, even if they were not the most mainstream ideas, I guess.
Or the ones that they wanted in particular.
Well, I think canon were the only people that would have said yes to spending that much money on a science fiction film where your villain is naked for that much of the screen time.
Oh, yeah.
That's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I'm glad we didn't watch that together.
Yeah, I am, too.
Because, oh boy.
I am too.
Not make eye contact with you at all.
Well, she's only naked 7 minutes of the movie, but it's a long 7 minutes.
But it's at the start?
It's throughout.
So, good. So you're not ready for it.
I hope she got paid well.
I don't know much about her behind the scenes, but she's gone on to have a great career, Matilda May.
Oh, good for her. Rough start.
And later on, it seems like Cannon kind of started putting money into movies by acclaimed directors like Jean-Luc Godard and Franco Zeffirelli and things. Was that kind of like an attempt for respectability there?
Yeah, so Menachem Golan always dreamed of winning an Oscar. And he loved movies, and reading about him and researching and writing for so many years, I've really convinced that that maybe nobody loved movies more than this guy.
I kind of agree.
But he wanted respect. They were very good with their genre movies and exploitation movies, but he wanted to also have that art house acclaim. And so, yeah, they started signing up. They made a movie with Robert Altman, of Full for Love. That was an adaptation of a Shepherd play. He made a movie with John Cassavetes, and it's Love Streams, and it's my favorite Cassavetes movie that really they made, let him have free reign in it. He went into the movie and ripped up the script, really, just week into shooting, and everyone was just along for the ride. They gave him, I think, 40 some days to shoot that, which is incredible considering most of these movies they made were shot in 3 weeks.
Wow. I'm behind on my Cassavetes. I've seen Woman Under an Influence in Chinese. No, that was somebody else. But I was supposed to watch Shadows this week. I was really interested in it.
Love Streams is a fascinating backstory if you want to hear it.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Oh, so Cannon was excited to make this deal with Cassavetes, and he had such a long shooting time because he shot most of it in his own house that he shared with Gina Rollins. And just shortly into shooting, he found out pretty much that he was dying. Mm. The doctors had given him months to live at that point.
Wow.
And he didn't tell anyone. He decided, he's like, this is going to be my last, probably the last thing I will ever make. And so he changed it in the middle. It became very surreal. Characters changed. He re-edited it later so that actors who shot scenes thinking one thing was happening, that scene ended up in a different part of the movie. So it's a very strange viewing experience, but if you go in knowing that it was made by a man as a sort of basically writing out his own gravestone, I guess, it really changes the way you approach it. But yeah, so he ended up living for a few more years and making
he had the he took advantage when he did. How many of us will have the treatise when we hear we have a limited satchel like that? But sometimes a movie or an album or something like that, it gets that much more. People don't really take the time to look at something that's weird and think, what happened there? And that's why I want to read the book that all three books are going to be amazing, I think, because every single film that Cannon did just seemed like it was filled with stories like that.
They are. That's been the biggest joy of working on this book and writing it, is uncovering these. And it's like there are many stories that are out there that prove to be even crazier than when you hear the real version of it. And there are ones that you were clearly exaggerated, and I got those too.
Where can people find your book right now?
Well, right now it's on Amazon, and it's available through the publisher, Bear Manor Media, on their website.
Like bear as in the animal that Hercules throws off into space.
Oh my gosh.
The bear that killed his father.
Well, that's fine then.
Well,
I think it's justified.
Well, I have okay. So, because this isn't covered in your book, I do have one question to ask. They would collapse. Canon would collapse, but they would collapse mid a lot of other films. Is there a film that they did not complete that you always wanted to see?
Oh gosh! Wow. So, because of the way they worked, announcing movies that they didn't have the rights to, or the stars didn't know about, or were just a great drawing that somebody on their staff had done, they announced so many movies that never made it anywhere near production, that in the third book, I really want to do a section just called Canceled Canon.
Oh, that's good.
Nice. Just probably, I could probably cover 50 of these projects.
You could probably write a whole book on that.
Oh God, Journey to the Center of the Earth, Spider-Man, they all look great.
Oh my gosh.
That's the Spider-Man movie would have been amazing.
Please tell me about that. Please.
Oh, gosh.
Peter loves Spider-Man.
So, yes, Spider-Man project. Back in the 80s, Marvel had some very bad financial troubles.
Oh, yeah.
And sold off a bunch of the rights to their characters for movies.
Right.
And considering that Canon was able to buy Spider-Man and Captain America, it tells you how cheap Marvel was probably selling them for.
Yeah.
So they got the rights to these two characters, and for years they kept saying they're coming. I've got probably half a dozen different advertisements for Captain America and Spider-Man. And at one point Tobey Hooper was going to direct Spider-Man, and crazy to imagine that, but
what? Oh my gosh! After seeing Life Force, oh man,
that's insane.
The funniest thing about Spider-Man, I think, is that Menachem Golan had no understanding of who or what Spider-Man was.
Oh gosh! Oh, that sounds beautiful.
So his script. There's a script that floated out there, or a premise that he had actually. His idea of Spider-Man is he thought Spider-Man was sort of like a Teen Wolf.
Yes.
So it was about a boy who would occasionally transform into a spider and monster.
Dude, and he like plays basketball and surfs on cars. That sounds interesting to me. It sounds like the Marvel movies took one idea probably from Menachem, if he would have had it, and that was to make Aunt May attractive in the new movies. But like, man, that it would be amazing to see Menachem just like make a movie without any context.
That's unbelievable, and I can't express how much I want to see that.
Oh.
There's an alternate universe out there where that got made.
Yep.
And I loved it.
It kind of reminds me of the description of the Japanese Spider-Man series, where they just basically took the costume and the name and have no other relationship with the character.
Yeah, he just shoots a bunch of people in that show.
That ain't Spider-Man.
Canon would collapse after the partnership of Globus and Golem would go, but I hear some of those people are still making movies today, like Ninja Assassin and stuff like that. Do you know the name of that company? What was the name of that company?
Millennium.
Thank you.
Yeah. A lot of those guys started at Canon many years ago.
Yeah.
And watch movies they make. It's not surprising.
True.
This is the Incredibles and things like that, right?
Expendables.
Expendables.
No, they've been making genuine. They've made genuine movies. Yeah, they're not. They're not like Asylum. They're a step above.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're definitely. They've carried on the sort of the spirit of what Canon was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And even after Canon is sadly long gone.
Yeah,
but you know what's not long gone. I have to go. Let's take another break.
Man, that kombucha is rolling right through.
It's not really kombucha.
Gotta drink kombucha now. Now, I need to tell you all something. A little story about my life. Pretty messed up. Gonna tell it anyway. The only way I know how. On the big screen. Yo, my name is Charlie Bronson. I got no son. I got a daughter, but she got helped to the slaughter. I got a wife and she's gone as well. It puts my life in hair. Put me in a spell. So I grabbed my magnum, I shot some strangers, I saw the blood and they called the rangers. I moved to another city and shot some more in front of a store window. It crashed, the people applauded. They looked at my actions and I was allotted. And soon enough there was invasions in the USA. Those mother truckers ain't gonna stay. So I pull out my AK, I blow them all away, away. All the terrorists are running as I'm throwing suitcases, blowing up bombs and ripping up faces. I get my best friend, his name is Chuck as well. We take those terrorists, we send them to hell. We do more, cause we're in store. The whole neighborhood has got an armory on the floor. Picking up guns, shooting them in the air. Shooting strangers and terrorists, man, they don't care. Then the creeps come out at night. They pull out their bikes, motorists excite. And then we blow them up like, is this a Charlie Bronson, Chuck Norris film? Oh no. Everyone's dead. Wait. Did you like my rap? Nope, he's dead.
If you liked Captain America, then you'll love Canon Films' next amazing superhero film. Here's our producer to tell you all about it.
Hello, we bought Marvel property and we are going to make big Marvel movie. It's called Avengers Infinity War. Infinity Wars. In fact, the wars go on infinitely. That's how bad wars is. We have Spider-Person. We have America, Major America. We have Steel Man. We have Arachnid Woman. We have many people get together. They put on capes. They stop Big Purple Dude. Big Purple Bulk Man. He trying to make everyone half of what they were. Big adventure, explosions, web slinging, people throw shields onto other shields. It's amazing. Black Kitty's there. Lots of heroes. Big deal. They try to take stones and they keep it from Purple Guy. And in the end of the day, man who is also Bat and man who is also Super, they come in and they stop and mustaches digitally erased. It's big film. We're filming right now, and it is coming out in 3 days. Look in your theater, 3 days, out soon. Watch Avengers in Wars of Infinity, starring Ricky Gervais.
This is Poppy the Popcorn, social media manager for the Real Butter Buttercast. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr for more behind-the-scenes shenanigans. You can be a big-time Hollywood podcast producer for as little as 99 cents a month. Just go to our anchor.fm page and click the support button. And remember to subscribe, like, and review the Buttercast. 5 stars reviews only.
Poppy, what are you doing?
Oopsies.
Come on. We have to get back to the show, dude. Let's go.
Coming. 5 stars or else.
Poppy!
Real
butter.
And we're back.
Wow.
Theo is still indisposed.
It's a little bubbly gutty.
A little bit of bubble gut and hot snake. You could probably listen to that entire episode. We have done that, believe it or not.
Sequel one day.
Anyway, I got a question for you, Austin. Got a couple. I should have said it earlier on, but I let the thing flow. So I'm curious if you know what makes a canon film a canon film. Is there any description? Does something have to happen in order for something like this to exist?
Oh, wow. I think there's a little bit of canon magic that appears when you have an idea that's more ambitious than your budget.
Canon magic. I love that. Canon magic.
That's beautiful.
I think that's probably the most consistent element of canon, is the ideas are bigger than the money can traditionally support.
And that does not stop them.
No.
No.
That's the beautiful thing.
That stops them.
It's green light all the way.
Yeah, just all green lights. There's mm-hmm. there's not any other light. It's just a green light. Always on. Yeah, you see, it's still on. Just keep going. So if
with that being said, if you could write a canon film on the spot, what could it be? What would you make it?
Oh, man. Well, I would love to see a crossover between their first Ninja Trilogy with that starred Shokasugi in each movie in various different roles.
Oh, he's great.
Okay.
And I'd like to cross it over with their second Ninja franchise, which is the American Ninja movies.
Yes!
Whoa, okay,
yes!
Okay.
Oh, God, so, that'd be great.
Would it be the same cast, or would you recast it?
I would definitely want Michael Dudikoff and Shokasugi to come back as, like, cool. Grizzled old ninjas.
At the very end, Lucinda Dickey's just there dancing in the background.
Yeah, and she can get repossessed. I guess that's the term. She could be the bad guy again. That would be awesome.
I love that.
The good bad guy? I had mixed feelings about
her. Well, we can get into it. I don't think we did. We don't have the ninja movies lined up to... Oh, the third one. Yes, we did that. Okay, so the original ending of the third one was that she was supposed to kill the ninja and become a ninja herself. Take the power of the black ninja.
Honestly, that could have been better.
Well, they reshot it later, and she just ended
instead,
up kissing
the guy. She just stood there for like a half an hour.
I love them standing
only
there.
Only a ninja can
that.
Kill another ninja. That's just science.
But she also drove a sword into the ninja.
Only if, Austin, your movie also involves cockfighting.
Yeah, we could just do D, all of the above. So, okay, I love that. I actually really like that. If it kind of bleeds into my other question. If you could reboot a movie, new cast, potentially new setting, what would it be?
Oh, gosh. And this would be remaking it with today's stars, or...
Yeah, I mean, this is your world. So it could be remade maybe from a decade ago or something, you know, a couple years after a movie came out, they remade it. Or it could be now, where it's, you know, endless supply of money, whatever you want.
Wow. And we spoke a little about Texas Chainsaw Massacre, too. I would love to see another Texas Chainsaw Massacre in that vein, and not the sort of reboots that have come since.
Yeah.
Something more gonzo and wacko, and sadly, Toby Hooper is no longer around, but I would like to see a new one that would be what he would have made, I guess.
That's pretty cool.
With that sense of humor.
Right, right.
Yeah, I feel like the Tucker and Dale vs. Evil kind of guys would probably be a good call for something like that.
That'd be amazing. That's a good pick. But you wouldn't have, you know, giant robots fighting gladiators, right? Sent from space gods or whatever they were.
That's Hercules.
Yeah, you wouldn't have that.
Keep going. I'm taking notes on this one, Peter.
No, that's from Hercules, where they had giant mechas.
That's Transformers, and people are sick of those. So I think we're good.
Okay. Well, they didn't transform. They were just like awkwardly moving around
and
stuff.
They just grew.
Wait, so that wasn't real either?
Nope, that was not real, Bobby. Those were the... Wait a second, you thought Hercules was real?
Yeah, I want to get big!
What?
I want to get big and fight robots!
Wait a second, you thought that the universe was born from a pot in space?
I'm a piece of popcorn!
It's so
true! How would I know?
Oh, man, I walked into that one. wait, so, okay, so you think that... Well, none of us are sorcerers, none of us have that power.
How do I get big?
Okay, I used to be able to have the power, but then I fell in love with you.
What?
Yep, I lost my power because you're so adorable.
It's dumb.
It's not dumb. Love is... you can't understand love, man. It is what it is. And all my powers are gone, so...
Okay, well...
Deal.
Austin, if you could make a potion to make me big, what would be in the potion? Hang on,
wait,
let me get a pencil. Let me get a pencil.
He doesn't know.
Let me get a pencil.
He's not part of the Hercules universe either.
Okay, go. Ready?
Just humor him, Austin.
I don't know much about sorcery, but witch's toe, maybe?
There you go.
How do you spell it?
I have newt. I'm trying to think of all the trendy witch's potions ingredients.
What about, like, protein?
Maybe some Hercules blood. That always seems to work.
There you go. 10 drops of that. You gotta find Hercules.
Okay,
there's plenty. There's The Rock. There's Lou Ferrigno. Okay. There's Kevin Sorbo. There's a lot.
Wasn't he deaf?
No, Lou Ferrigno was, yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know if he could hear me.
No, he can't. He's deaf.
I mean, I'm so small, he would just step on me.
That and he's deaf.
Well, yeah, okay, so I have protein pills. I have some toes.
I have newt, he said.
I have newt, okay.
Blood of Hercules.
What else? Maybe...
You know, I mean, I know Lou Ferrigno's a bit older now, but I still wouldn't, you know, mess with him trying to get some of his blood or anything.
I have my ways. I can do it. I got yours.
I'll be honest. Yeah, he just keeps coming home with blood. I don't know how, so he's got ways.
Yes, he's a creep.
Wait. Death Wish 3 creep? Because those creeps are everywhere.
You know, Death Wish, they got progressively...
horrible?
You know, he kind of... Yeah. I mean, it starts out with him just sort of with a handgun on the streets, and then by the third one, he's blasting people with bazookas, and he's just like a one-man army. It's kind of a similar way to way Die Hard evolved.
I also feel like, Austin, that the Death Wish movies highlight some of the bad behind-the-scenes stories that can happen with canon.
Yeah. The director of 2 and 3, Michael Winner, was...
The sadist?
Very famously a creep, yeah.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, with the Death Wish movies, though, definitely if you want to become a serious, respected Hollywood actor, you definitely get cast as a goon or a ruffian in a Death Wish movie.
Hang on, let me write this down. Hang on.
Wait, Bob, you want to be a goon in a movie?
I don't know. I think I got it.
I thought you wanted to grow, so you want to grow big and then be a goon in a movie.
Yeah, if I grow big, I'm just huge size.
Well, yeah, but you'll also have the temperament of you, which, as we all know, could be horrible for everyone.
I'd be a good goon.
you'd be a creep. You'd be like Alex Winter.
Oh yeah, Alex Winter's in there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Who else? Were you saying that there were other thugs who became stars?
Yeah, well, so Death Wish 1, one of the...
Yep.
Terrible thugs was Jeff Goldblum.
Jeffy Goldblum.
Oh my gosh.
Death Wish 2 was Lawrence Fishburne.
That's right.
And Death Wish 3, Alex Winter. So it's all of those you get shot by Charles Bronson and then go on to bigger things.
Yeah.
He shoots you with his talent gun.
Where do I get the talent gun?
Oh, didn't he mail order it in Death Wish 3?
He did, guns. Yeah.
What's the phone number?
The phone number to order guns?
Yeah.
Oh, it's 555
okay.
419-3872-946.
Uh-huh. This is a long number.
833-339-6969-7.
I think this is not real.
Yep, it's fake. Anyway, Austin, is there a... If you could pick a Death Wish that you like, which one would it be?
Oh, gosh. Well, this is probably controversial, but I love Death Wish 4. And I think it's mostly because of John P. Ryan, who was incredible in Runaway Train as well. But he's the main... Well, spoilers, but he's a bad guy in...
No! I'm sorry. I've seen enough of Runaway Train to know that I want to see it, so that's fine.
If I wanted to pick a favorite Death Wish kill from any of the movies,
ooh,
it's not canon, but it was produced by Golan post-canon, but it was Death Wish 5, which is otherwise not a good movie, but...
The Crackdown?
It has a Face of Death.
Oh, that's what it's called?
What?
Death Wish 5, Face of Death. There's
okay.
So much death in that movie that says death twice in the title.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
But there's a great part where he has a remote control soccer ball, and he hides around the outside of this villain's estate and remote controls the little soccer ball up to the door and then sets up, like, after a bad guy picks it up, sets off a bomb in it.
Oh my god. Wow. Why didn't he just kick it
That's
over?
Beautiful. That is wonderful.
Why is it remote control?
That's amazing.
It seems totally unnecessary. The remote control
could have
part.
Just thrown it.
So that's where JJ got BB-8.
I was right about to say that's the birth of BB-8.
So Death Wish is them taking a successful series and running with it, but they've had successful series like Breaking, for example.
Yes. Yeah, Breaking, the first Breaking was one of the biggest hits that canon had. Biggest success stories. And yeah, Breaking 2 was...
Speaking of Breaking, I'm afraid we're going to have to take a quick break because I want to hear all about Breaking.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Oh, that was a transition. That's better. Yeah.
Thank you.
Just one more thing.
Smooth, real, like a gradual, invisible transition.
Okay, I don't need you to swim in it.
Well, this is a far cry here, but do you know, has the arm twitching happened to you with watching the Apple? Is that just me?
I think it's just you.
Okay, you don't have a solution
for
that?
I was on my feet cheering.
Austin, you don't got any solutions there?
Oh, boy. I mean, yeah, any canon-induced twitching. Definitely having a stiff drink nearby will help that.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm a big fan of the that late 70s, early 80s last gasp of disco musicals. If you had to choose between, these three, which one would you say? Apple, Xanadu, or Can't Stop the Music?
Oh, Apple, all the way. That's an easy one for me.
Man, I do think Apple deserves it, but there's something about Can't Stop the Music that's just too much
you
fun.
You said Apple, and my arm is twitching even more.
I think you do. maybe you should eat an apple. You'll feel better.
Oh, stop.
I have a bunch of apples right here.
Oh, God.
How about some apples? Oh, man, that's some apple
Peter,
juice.
Go drink some butter.
Here's some apple pie.
Go drink some butter. We'll be right back, guys.
Bye-bye, Mr. Apple. Bye.
The Real Butter Buttercast. The Real Butter Buttercast.
Hail Hydra.
We're back!
So, hey, Peter, are you feeling okay? Feeling better?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good.
You drink some butter?
Yeah, the arm twitching stopped.
Good, have an apple.
You feeling better now? much better?
He's feeling much better. I gave him an apple. He's good.
Oh, stop.
I don't think we can say that word. It's like a trigger word now.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. Apple.
You always have to be prepared, you know? Prepared. Like, for instance, if maybe our country was invaded, you know? You'd want to be ready to repel them. Like a one-man army.
Sort of like Chuck Norris and the insane man who's just waiting for the day for this to happen.
Oh, yeah, like that.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder, has that been ever made into a movie?
It's called Invasion USA with Chuck Norris.
Oh, I saw that one.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, to be truthful, about 20 minutes in after, you know, a lot of innocent lives were just brutally murdered.
Oh, when they blow up those houses?
Yeah, and, you know, the boat of people just like, help us. And they're like, oh, we're here to save you. And then, nope.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. They're terrorists, but oh my gosh. That like, that kind of, that broke me a little bit. Seeing all those, like, innocent people just, I mean, that's what terrorism is.
That, yeah?
Not to, you know, downgrade what terrorism is.
No, Invasion USA is the perfect example of terrorism.
Right. Just
and also Chuck Norris is wearing a pretty sweet, I think it's called a Canadian tuxedo.
What?
That is, it refers to wearing jeans on top and bottom, like, oh, full outfit, right?
See, he's jeaning it up. What's the name for that?
He said it, Canadian tuxedo.
That's what, oh, I've never heard of that. Yeah, I thought there was something else.
No, that's it.
What?
Yeah.
I had really hoped I could pull off that look in my author photo, but I did not.
So Chuck Norris, how did they get into the Chuck Norris business?
Well, yeah, so Chuck Norris, he'd done movies in the 70s, even fighting Bruce Lee, and mm-hmm. sort of been on the fringes of Hollywood for a while, and then got into making his own appearing in a bunch of actually like pretty solid low budget action movies in the early 80s. And so he was somebody who was sort of on the cusp of stardom, but wasn't. He was older at that point. By the time he came to Canon with Missing in Action, he was 40.
Jeez.
So that's a very strange time to launch your action star career. But yeah, so he had worked on the script for Missing in Action with a writer named James Bruner, who had also written Delta Force for Canon later on. But he had wanted to do a Vietnam movie. Chuck Norris had actually lost a brother in Vietnam and wanted to do something to honor him.
That. Did not know that.
Yeah. And so they set up the movie with Cannon, and he went in and they made a deal, and he came out. The problem was that they wanted to make a movie called Missing in Action with Chuck Norris, and he assumed it was the script that he had been shopping around Hollywood, but it was actually an entirely different script called Missing in Action. And Canada just confused the two. So,
oh boy.
So Chuck called up the writer and the people he's working with and said, yeah, the great news is Canon's going to make Missing in Action. The bad news is it's not your Missing in Action. So they made the first, the Missing in Action story is actually another crazy.
Yeah, it actually gets more crazy.
Yeah, so they made the first Missing in Action, which was all set in a POW camp. It's a pretty brutal movie as far as just him getting tortured, his
Oh, soldiers getting tortured. But finally, as in most Chuck Norris movies, like the end is he escapes and he basically kills most of Vietnam.
Yeah.
So they made that and they immediately wanted to start making a sequel. So they brought the writer back and they took most of his missing in action script originally. He retold it a little bit, but they basically shot that almost immediately with another director. And when they got the footage back, they had a deal to distribute the movie, and their distributor no longer wanted the missing action they showed them, the one they first shot. And so Cannon, who were no longer had to fulfill that contract, realized the second one was much better, and which I'd agree. So they decided to release it first. And they renamed Missing in Action 2 Missing in Action.
What?
The original Missing in Action became Missing in Action 2 The Beginning.
So it was a prequel?
They
made a little prequel out of it.
Yeah, so they flipped the order, and again, that ended up being a major hit for Canon. That and Breakin' were both 1984, and were the two biggest hits that Canon ever had. And so that really propelled them into their period of making big movies and overspending in the mid-80s, where you get stuff like Life Force, Over the Top, Masters Universe, Superman 4, and movies that they had no business spending that much money on, if they wanted to stay financially viable.
Yeah, 84 was a good year for them.
Good year.
Yeah.
Well, I walked right into that. but yeah, it's sort of like the story with Breakin', just how fast they pumped those movies out. The first one was a big hit, and then immediately they pumped out the second one within the same year. Lucinda Dickey did like 3 starring roles in 1 year.
They're like all 80s. Just 83, yeah. 84.
Yeah, she was 84. There. They definitely, Canon modeled themselves after the old sort of 40s, 30s, 40s Hollywood studio system. Yeah. And
they wanted to stable.
Yeah, they like to recycle stars. And a lot of times it really worked for the movies that they put those stars in.
I was about to say that sounded like the studio system, like where Humphrey Bogart would be over here being a detective and then he'd be a gangster in another movie and 2 months later he's doing something else.
Yeah, they would have stars with contracts and they would blow through those contracts, and then the same amount of time, stars today would, in the time they make, it'd be like 4 or 5 movies to make. About 4 or 5 years to make as many movies as Canada would make with the same stars in 2 years.
Yeah, like Menachem would go on record of being like, stars, what do? When they make one picture a year, then they sit at home, they have divorces, they drink alcohol, what do? They want to make movies, they want to work. I was like, this guy, they keep pumping out stuff without the idea that if you actually sit on an idea long enough, perfect it, go through the drafts and make it work, like that it would be an honest-to-God project. No, he just was like, I'm going to make it. We're making it.
But what's amazing about their totally backwards gonzo music business model is that when they were making small movies like Breakin' and Missing in Action and a lot of these early Charles Bronson movies, they weren't losing money because they pre-sold the rights and that paid for their budget. So, and I feel like had they stuck with the small stuff, they could have, made 30 movies a year for the rest of time. But yeah, they needed to make
things like Masters of the Universe, right?
Right. Movies that, when they cost $10 million more than what you make from them, and your average budget is only $5 million usually. And yeah, it's.
Because then they have to make money. They can't just kind of skate on a couple failing.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, Menachem was, like, the biggest dreamer. Like, Globus would walk up and he'd be like, dude, we owe the bank $5 million. And Menachem would be like, that's ridiculous. We should owe them $20 million. We should have been making more. We should have really, really been pulling our weight. We should owe them more. And Globus was like, what are you doing? He's trying to make all these deals, and Menachem is just, like, making movies up in the bathroom on the toilet.
It's amazing in their early years, especially, there's this magic because they could do crazy movies, they could do weird things because they really couldn't lose money on them. They cost less than they'd already made selling the foreign rights or the video rights or cable rights before the movie even cast. So it didn't matter if it did well. It didn't matter if it played in, 3 screens across the country. They already made a profit on a lot of those.
That's really amazing.
So many notes on this.
Oh, don't.
Oh, God,
stop.
No, Theo.
You know, I feel like they'd do really well if if they were, you know, current and they were on YouTube or some internet thing, like constant entertainment.
Well, that would come to a question I was thinking of right now. Austin, who would you think is a good counterpart nowadays for what Canon was doing then?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, there are certain things that I think are still very much that same model, especially when you get any of these franchises that can pump out a sequel every 1 or 2 years. I think of something like the Taken movies or the John Wick movies. They put 3 of those out in no time at all. And I think that's definitely in the spirit of what Canon did by releasing an American Ninja movie each year, a Delta Force movie every 2 years.
Yeah, Blumhouse is kind of like doing that even better now, too. Finding stars, sticking with them. Like, how many Conjuring movies? I know that's not Blumhouse, but that's the same thing. Like, whoever got that, like, they got Patrick Wilson and they got Vera Farmiga, and they're like, you're in for, like, 8 movies.
Yeah, that's definitely the Canon spirit.
What I think is tragic then is that, like, they had that business model, but then they also had this kind of little bit of an urge for respectability, like, you know, the constant thing like, oh, we'll win an Oscar one day.
Well, it was mainly driven by the partnership of those two guys until a third party came in and kind of weaseled his way in with his Ponzi scheme, right?
Yeah. There were some real mobsters that came in towards the tail end.
They got some dirty dealings towards the end, and it kind of tore up the relationship between the two guys, Globus and
There was that, and then there were a lot of really overextending themselves the business. They bought Elstree Studios.
That's right.
Out in the UK, which is where Star Wars and all the Superman movies were shot. This gigantic production facility when, you know, at the same time, they're making movies in basically a warehouse in Israel. And it's just they used it for Superman 4 and some other movies, but they didn't need a facility like that. Then they bought a big chain of theaters in the UK, and a lot of this was money that was supposed to be spent on films. Ooh. And so when they went to make, say, Superman 4, and they only had a quarter of the budget they had originally told Christopher Reeve about, and a lot of the people who were agreeing to work about on it, it was an issue because they literally did not have that money. They had spent it all buying real estate.
they would break up and they would go do their own things for a bit, come back together before Menachem died. But have you seen any of Menachem's stuff after he left Canon?
Yeah. Well, the Death Wish 5 is one that, if you're going to watch the first 4 Death Wishes, it's definitely the weakest of the bunch, but you got to go for the 5th one at that point.
Nice.
Close the Hulkers story.
Yeah, if you've gotten that far, you might as well, because like you can only take maybe 1 a week or something like that.
Yeah, if you're Marvel fans, you owe it to yourselves to seek out his Captain America that he did make after Canon.
I've seen bits and pieces.
Is that the one with like the motorcycle helmet, Captain America?
Yeah, it's
with the Italian red skull.
Yeah, it's something you really and he's got Captain America's like his costume doesn't quite fit right.
No, constantly stealing cars.
Yeah, it's worth seeking out. It just because it's so far away from what they're making now.
Interesting.
But it's the one I grew up on. That's oh, wow. The funny part. It's like that. It was that in the very, I feel, underrated Punisher movie with Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
That were my Marvel movies as a kid.
Interesting. Did you, like, at that age, did you ever get a chance to see the Fantastic Four one, or did you catch that years later?
Oh, the Roger Corman one.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, back in college, a buddy bought like a video disc at a Comic Con, and we all gathered to watch it. It was
wow.
Yeah, there's actually a great book on that out that talked to a lot of the people who were involved.
Wow. Yeah, early Marvel movies were not good.
They're definitely a different breed now.
No, Blade changed the game.
Yeah,
they definitely they've come a long way. I'll definitely agree to that. They've come a long, long, long way since the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah, but I will stand by. I still stand by the Punisher. It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah, and then I don't know if Globus has passed, but Menachem passed in like 2014, correct?
Yes. Yeah, Globus is still alive. Mm. He's actually got a new venture that was announced in movies that's basically proposing to make a bunch of movies around YouTube stars.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
so, great. That's,
yeah, nothing. I don't think anything's gone in production yet, but that is his big news is coming out of retirement, basically, to start that venture.
Are
so,
you surprised?
No,
keep,
but
keep an eye out.
I was like hoping that he didn't like make that Jake Paul Airplane remake or something. I would have been like, oh, heartbroken. But it seems like that, look, that could end up that like that.
I don't want to think about that.
I don't know. Globus could maybe want to work with a Jake Paul.
Maybe I should call him up, actually.
No, he doesn't seem like a PewDiePie kind of guy.
No, I definitely don't call him. That's okay.
Maybe Game Grumps?
You know who we could... You know what? Let's call Austin again, and we can go through some of the bigger movies that are in his book.
Sure.
The Apple, Breaking 2, Ninja 3, and Hercules, maybe?
Sure.
Yeah, Hercules!
Yeah, Poppy wants to talk about Hercules.
And of course, you know, like I have like a special kind of perspective on this because of my own ninja training.
Raw, I forgot about that.
And actually, like I recently have been doing quite a bit of breakdancing, so I think
I would
this
love
will be really fun.
That.
So
you're basically Lucinda Dickey from Ninja 3.
A little bit.
That's a good parallel.
I want to see that hair. That hair better be just big and coiffed, buddy.
It definitely seems like you are possessed by a ninja demon. So
you've known me long enough.
Yeah, you definitely are.
I love it.
Well, thanks for calling, Austin, and I'll bring some food down. I mean,
What? Wait. So
hang on.
He's in your basement?
Look. Well, I mean, I don't own this house, but it is Shoshana's house. But he is in the basement, yes.
Austin,
but,
I mean, if it just Austin, blink twice if you're in trouble. I know this is an audio podcast, but blink twice if you're in trouble.
I can't hear him.
I can't hear him either.
Usually I didn't hear anything either.
We're
so
deaf in the
hear
eyes.
Him, he's fine.
We'll send help, Austin. Don't worry. Stay tuned, okay?
Just remember, Bim's on the way.
Bim is on the way. Yeah. Make sure you're wearing your triangle.
Hey.
You know how good my oatmeal is.
What?
I'm bringing him some oatmeal. It's fine.
No. Don't go anywhere near him.
Get him an apple.
We're on the way. Bim's on the way.
Get him an apple.
Stay tuned, Butterheads, for our next...
The continuation of the canon exploration.
Yeah. The adventure of canon.
The second shot of the canon.
Ha! Poppy. No cannons. No cannons, Poppy.
Come on!
Why are you laughing, man?
Because you pressed go in the middle of your countdown. I guarantee you.
No, I didn't.
It started with your countdown.
No, I didn't.
Real
butter.